Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the NWAC South Sports Fast Break Show. Can't get that out, the South Fast Break Show. And we're glad you joined us tonight. Got another great program lined up. Terrific coaches, terrific questions from me, terrific answers. How's that for an egotistical answer? I feel in an arrogant mood tonight. So I'm going to continue that on in the program. Watch out, coaches. No, I'm Greg Crawford. I host a show each week. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops, only one C. And, you know, I will follow back if you're a basketball person. So if you're out there listening and you don't follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops, you need to start doing it. And I follow back all basketball people. You can also follow me on my web sports page, which I will be writing a lot about NWAC basketball very, very soon, www.gregorycrawfordsport.wordpress.com. But the real stars of this show are four coaches that I talk to each week. They are four great human beings who are shaping the lives of young men and women way beyond the basketball floor. And I think we also did something that I kind of like. I like to stir things up. We may have started a border war tonight, thanks to Coach Chavka and Coach Hop and claiming that Coach Hop can't stay up late, which I know he can. We used to do this show at 10. That proves they weren't paying attention. Is that not right, Coach Hop? And by the way, how are you tonight in Coos Bay, Oregon, the head men's coach of Southwestern Oregon Community College? Hello, Trevor. Hello. Let me try this. Oh, we've got Coach Wagner. No, we'll get back to Coach Wagner in a little bit. Put him back on hold there. And I was trying to get Coach Hop here. And let's see if I've got him right here. Coach Trevor Hop, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you very much. Sorry about that. Can you believe those guys in Washington saying that you couldn't stay up that late to listen at 10 o'clock when you did this show for nearly a year at 10 o'clock?
That's right. I think it's just another way of them giving me a hard time about how old I am. But I'm going to stay up tonight. I look forward to listening to you guys at 10 o'clock and hear what's going on up there with Coach Landon and the South Puget Sound team he's got going there.
Yeah, and I can't lose on this deal because I'm a native Portlander and my parents are both from the state of Washington, so I'm home free. Trevor, it's my understanding, have you officially started practice yet?
Well, we've started working out. I don't know about the terminology of practice. Actually, we call it boot camp this time of year. But, yeah, yesterday was our first day of school. We had a little meeting session in the classroom. And today we got on the court, and it was just a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm, and guys were flying around like you would expect the first day of the year. But it was a lot of fun, and you know, I'm excited about this group and thought we had a really good first day. Yeah.
Yeah, and what do you I'm the only person I'm not going to ask this to is Coach Wagner tonight because I ask him this on Sunday night. We have many of the same people listening, but what do you expect to accomplish in this first week of practice?
You know, it's just getting everybody used to being together. You know, we've put together an eclectic group, a diverse group, players from different areas, and so we're trying to bring them together and just get them to figure out and try to teach them the way we want to do things around here, which once again, it starts with a lot of energy and enthusiasm, and we just want to have a high energy practices and get guys flying around. And so that's some of the main things that we're really starting with right there.
You know, I've told this story a few times before, Trevor, when I back in my days at Linfield College, which was way, 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 way back. If those guys think you can't stay up, how about me? But anyway, Coach Wilson used to post a practice schedule up on the wall, you know, and then he would ask a random question about it to start practice. How do you send out your practice schedule ahead of time?
I do not. I bring it with me. I have a copy of the plan. Assistants have a copy of the plan. And you know, it's usually, you know, sitting on the floor. Guys will come over and glance at it. There's some guys that always want to come over and look. And there's some other guys, hey, they don't care. They're just going with the flow and happy to be there. But I don't post it on a bulletin board or anything. But if they want to take a look, you know, we'll let them look in and talk to them about it and kind of, hey, this is why we're doing this drill, or, you know, we've got this going on today, you know, so we're really going to, you know, working on closeouts or whatever it is and try to share it with them.
I have seen all of you guys both practicing and in action, and one thing that I think is really terrific, I have a lot of fun with all you guys, but your players all respect you greatly. How do you handle a bad practice, Trevor? How do you deal with that? Do you end it early? Do you like to chew a few people? Do you just say, hey, it's a bad practice and tomorrow's going to be better?
Yeah, we talk about handling adversity, and we talk about, hey, there's going to be some time this year that we have a bad half. There's going to be some time this year that we might have a bad game. So, you know, there's been times halfway through practice, you know, we'll just stop it and say, hey, you know, this isn't going the way we want it to right now. You know, we got two choices. We can, you know, pack it up and get out of here, or we can, you know, change it right now and get it going in the right direction and, you know, try to do things that way. So, you know, we try to talk about some of those things because, you know, there's things are going to come up in the season, and it's not always going to be pretty. It's not always going to be perfect. And, hey, we got to fight through this. And it's just another way of fighting through adversity, I guess. And so, you know, we'll talk to them and we'll get them going. We might put them on the line for a little running. But we'll stay in the gym the whole time.
You know, one thing I love about sports, Trevor Hopp, is the fact that there are so different many angles or theories or how to win or whatever. And, you know, what do you do about, you know, talking about preparing for your opponent? Do you spend a lot of time on them, a medium, or is it like the Oregon Ducks, a faceless opponent?
Well, right now we're not worried about any opponents. It's just so dang early. And really a lot through the preseason, we're more concerned with ourselves and the things we're doing and the things we're trying to execute. I think, you know, we worry more about our opponents when we get into conference play, and that's where, you know, everybody knows each other a lot better and personnel-wise and tendencies-wise and things the way other, you know, teams play and stuff like that. But early on, it's all about us. It's all about getting better. You know, we're not too worried about what somebody else is doing. But down the road, yeah, we start focusing a little more on those opponents.
Terrific start tonight for us, as always. I hope things are great down in Coos Bay, Oregon, and we'll talk to you again next Tuesday night. And I know you'll be listening to the rest of this program and for sure that 10 o'clock program. And, Trevor, you're even welcome to call in on that 10 o'clock program to let those guys have it. They don't have any business accusing you of not being able to stay up at night.
That's right. Okay, thanks a lot, Greg. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, very good. That's Trevor Hopp, the head men's coach at Southwestern Oregon Community College. Now let's go to Coach Chavka at Lane Community College in beautiful Eugene, Oregon. Beautiful time of year to be in the state of Oregon. And how are you doing tonight, Coach?
Hey, I'm fabulous. I was worried there when you had the technical difficulties at the beginning when you had Trevor on, that maybe he was asleep and, you know, couldn't get to the phone kind of thing. I was worried for a second. So I'm glad it was on your end and not his.
I I didn't bring it up. I left it to you.
That's good stuff.
All right, very good. Speaking of good stuff, what do you like to accomplish in the first week of practice?
You know, it seems like every year at Lane we always get, because it starts off as a class, we get a big group of kids, and I try to run guys off a little bit in the first week or so with a lot of conditioning. So we really try to push our guys conditioning-wise that first week, sort of get the tight and toughness motto rolling and see who's in shape, who's out of shape, who's mentally tough. You know, we started yesterday and did some stuff last week, but not everybody was in town. But yesterday we started running them and doing some other stuff. But I think the biggest thing is, I think three things, trying to build that tight and toughness to see who's in shape, and then do lots of skill work to try to get guys, you know, back in the mentality of let's count our makes jumper wise and work on a bunch of different skill stuff. And then trying to build that, you know, team chemistry or teamism kind of thing of trying to, you know, introduce guys. We do a couple little quirky games and stuff to get to know guys because, we're bringing in a bunch of new guys and then we have our returners and we're trying to, you know, do the this is who I am kind of thing and stuff like that to try to introduce guys and stuff and just to get a feel for everybody and try to, you know, get them all together and try to get that team chemistry going early on. So I think those three things are the biggest things. You know, I think it's important to do different things to get guys acclimated to their new teammates and new coaching staff. And then we always ask the returners, the sophomores to step up and lead us and get in their ear and talk to them off the court and, hey, help this guy out, make sure we're doing this and lead us when we're on the court kind of thing. And they always respond pretty nicely. So it's a fun time of year. It's good to have everybody back together and, you know, just starting our journey together and sort of see who's who and what's up. And I mean, I think a coach always has an idea of, hey, this guy can do this, this and this, and this guy can do that. And this returner is this and that. But once you get them all on the court and see how they interact and the different personalities and effort levels, attitude levels, and all that good stuff, it's fun to see how they progress or maybe not progress, you know, just trying to get everything pointed in the right direction. So it's a fun time of year.
Does your team know your practice schedule each day in advance?
You know, we post the right before practice, you know, when guys are sort of stretching or getting up some shots, we'll post it on the wall. We always do a quote of the day kind of thing, and that's on the practice plan, but it's also typed on another sheet of paper. And by the end of the year, we have a little wall or a big wall in our gym just covered with every quote of the day kind of thing. So, you know, they don't – guys will usually text, hey, are we doing this today? Or and I always make sure our sophomores are vocal with me with a text or, hey, pop in the office, what do we need to work on? What do you think of this? And give ideas and take their ideas and all that good stuff. But I post it pretty much right up on the wall. Maybe 15, 20 minutes before practice kind of thing.
You know, final question for you tonight. You know, you mentioned your sophomores quite a bit, and I like that very much. I know they're going to lead most clubs in the NWAC. What's the big difference between a freshman and a sophomore, from your expert opinion, Bruce, in the NWAC basketball?
You know, there's that old ghetto fabulous saying that most coaches use, you know, the best thing about a freshman is they become a sophomore. And it's a world of difference. I mean, as a freshman, they're sort of, I don't know for a better word, they're puppies, you know. They're walking around spilling the water. They're so happy the food's all over the kitchen floor. And, you know, they're wetting themselves and doing all that crazy stuff. Their eyes are all big and first time away from home kind of thing. And then as a sophomore, they just have a different presence about themselves. They carry themselves better. They're more in tune with the team. They're a lot more in tune with the coaching staff. They bring leadership. You know, it's really fun to see that leadership light go off in kids because, I mean, it's priceless. It's just there's nothing better when a kid all of a sudden, hey, I'm a returner. I've done this drill before or I've been in this situation before. And they sort of just are an extension of the head coach and sort of take the bull by the horns and lead the other, the, you know, the new puppies kind of thing. And they're just invaluable kind of guys to have sophomores. And I think usually at the junior college level, if you have strong sophomores, you're going to have a pretty darn good journey, you know, throughout the year. So it's always fun to have those guys.
Very good. Great job. Great answers to my questions tonight, Bruce, per usual. I sure appreciate it. I appreciate your humor. I appreciate your friendship, and I appreciate your support of this program. Let's keep it rolling for another year.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and I know all the coaches appreciate what you do for not only the NWACs, but the Northwest basketball scene. So I appreciate it. Have a good week, and thanks for having me.
You betcha. Thank you very much. That's Bruce Jobka, the head men's coach at Lane Community College. Now let's go to Tony Broaddus in beautiful Portland, Oregon, my hometown, where I was born not that far from Portland Community College at Emmanuel Hospital, a great hospital. How are you tonight?
I'm doing awesome, Greg. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. Thank you. And, Tony, what do you want to accomplish in your first week of practice? And I know, knowing many people that know you and knowing you, you think you got a pretty good team this year, and I like that.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, what I try to establish in that first week is that practices are going to be fun, dynamic, and competitive every day. I want to make sure they understand that. So we're going to do some good fun stuff, some hard working stuff, and just set this kind of the rules of what practice is like. You know, when I blow the whistle, everyone freezes. If you don't, we're on the baseline. A lot of discipline type things to set the tempo for the year, but at the same time, a lot of fun, competitive one-on-one, two-on-two situational stuff, and working on fundamentals at the same time. So it's a combination of a lot of things, but I would say discipline, setting the tone for discipline, is the number one goal.
Tony, you won a state championship in high school and an NWAC championship, which is tremendous. What does a coach of your caliber or any coach have to do to – what do you have to do to gain the respect of your players? Because you hear all this that in sports these days there's friction between the players and coach, and that was kind of unheard of 30 years ago.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it starts with a person, first of all, being themselves. You know, coming in, and whoever you are as a coach, you that's who you are. You tell people, you know, that I'm in charge and I'm going to make the decisions. You don't let people talk or whisper or finish conversations when you're talking. You demand that immediate respect, and then you give respect back. You know, you listen to the guys, you let them have some fun, and you do those things. And guys, people are pretty keen. They pick up real quick that you mean business, you have their best interest at heart, and then they listen. And for the most part, you have their respect. You know, but you got to be consistent. You got to be consistent, and you got to be fair and fair as possible, you know, because you're not always going to be fair in everybody's eyes. But as long as you know what you're doing and doing it the best way, then they pick up on that.
Tony, do you email or post your practice schedule ahead of time each day?
No, I don't. I don't. Well, to my assistant coaches, yeah, I email my assistant coaches so we know what we're doing. But the players, no. They just need to come ready to work. It is not their job to know what's going to happen at this part of practice. You know, yeah, that'd be great, but no, you just come, lace your shoes up, and be ready to go. And, you know, it works. And then for the most part, if a guy is pretty keen, a keen basketball player, they know that we're working on defense. So we're putting in concepts. So they can track basically what are the things that are going to happen in practice based on what we've been working on and talking about.
Tony, I thought of you this week because I was reading the excerpts from this major coaching clinic that took place in Los Angeles where the headliner was George Raveling, Coach Raveling, and he said the success of any head coach on any level of basketball is they have to be an expert, a real expert in one thing. and he felt he was an expert in rebounding. And I kind of thought of you about the rebounding angle.
Yeah, that's interesting that he said that. You know, and I know I couldn't say that I'm an expert on that.
Well, I know that he's written 3 books, and I know that rebounding is a big hot topic with you always.
Give me 2 minutes. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry about that, Greg. I got interrupted real quick. Finish that. What was that thought?
Oh, no problem. I was saying I know that rebounding is the thing that made me chuckle about it was rebounding is always a big hot topic with you and one of your focal points.
Yeah, I really, you know, I've learned over the years how important it is and we'll try to and really emphasize it. You know, it's just a crucial piece of the game that I think people don't talk about enough. And our teams are, you know, we fight and compete. And I tell you what, when we won the NWAC championship, it was a hell of a team effort, but we had one key ingredient, and that was that we had the number one, the leading offensive rebounder in the entire NWAC on our team. And that paid off tremendously in him getting us extra opportunities in crucial moments and consistently. And that was Carl Appleton.
Yeah, a great player. And Tony, in conclusion, what's the one thing you really feel that your team this year needs to step up and really get good at?
Well, there's a lot of things, Greg, a lot of things. But if I had to pick one or two, I'd say we've got to hold teams to a lower shooting percentage and keep their score down. Last year we gave up for a lot of points, so we've got to keep the score down and lock teams up. And I think we have the pieces to do it. It's just up to us coaches to teach it and demand it.
Very good, Tony Broaddus. A pleasure to have you on the program each week. Love hearing what you have to say, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, Greg. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You betcha. That's Tony Broaddus, the head men's coach at Portland Community College in North Portland. Now let's go to Oregon City, Oregon, and talk to Cliff Wagner, the head men's coach, into his 40th year coaching basketball. He's at Clackamas Community College now, and quite frankly, I've not said this ever on any of the programs, and I do 2 of them with Cliff, but I think Cliff deserves a shot at the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. And I sincerely mean that, and I'm going to push for that. So there you go, Cliff. Good evening.
Well, that's a hard introduction to follow, but thanks for having me on the show tonight. It's always nice to talk basketball. I enjoyed hearing the other coaches talk tonight about what's going on with early season, and we're excited at Clackamas, too. We're just getting underway, and the season is upon us. We'll be playing other people in about a month. So this is really exciting time. Thanks again for doing the show.
You betcha, and I know, Cliff, that you love hearing the Ted Wilson stories. You always chuckle about those, but, you know, he used to post the practice schedule, and he'd post it in the morning, and then you had to memorize it if you were a player, and he'd call on 3 out of the 15 players. You never know who it would be, and it was a little nerve-wracking if you didn't know what was on that schedule. Do you post your practice schedule or email it out, or players?
I just wait till I get to the practice. I've done that over the years, and I don't know how effective it is, and so it's just one less thing to do that I don't know so much the value of. We meet when practice starts. We tell them, you know, what the emphasis of the day is, what we're going to be doing. So I don't think it's key. It's not any big secret. I mean, my notebook is open, and I'm looking at practice, and Coach Stam, my assistant, has a copy of the practice plan and so forth. So we have a schedule. We have certain drills we do, and we try to stay within our time framework. And as far as that, though, we try to move so quickly that kids don't really have time to stand around and think about what's next. They just jump from one drill to the other. So right now we're trying to eliminate dead time. We're trying to make practice time as efficient as possible, and just get off to a good start with habits and discipline and how our approach to practice is going to be with seriousness and purpose, but some fun and giggles and ha-has every once in a while, too, to make things enjoyable.
Cliff, I've asked you a million questions in the 3 years I've been interviewing you on the radio, but I don't think I've ever asked, I've asked you how you handle bad losses. How do you handle bad practices personally?
Well, that's interesting. Yesterday was our first sort of practice. We're limited to 2 hours in a conditioning class, so we spent 2 hours on the floor, and it was pretty ugly. I mean, we may have set basketball back several decades with our performance yesterday, and we talked about that at the end of practice. We re-emphasized again. We did a couple of breakdown, kind of walkthrough and reviews, and today our practicing was much better, and the kids were really excited, and they could see the growth and how much more fun it was to play basketball and do their individual offensive flashes and so forth within the framework of the team concept. So that was very cool. But I'm like other coaches. If it's a really bad practice, you might curtail it, you might end it, or you might just go into another mode. This type of year, we can't we can't afford to lose practice time. So if we're not practicing hard enough and we're not concentrating, this is conditioning time too. So we can condition with a ball or without a basketball. And the smart teams, the championship teams, they'll play hard enough. They'll get their conditioning done with a basketball. And the guys that take longer to figure out that out, they don't get to have the basketballs out till that happens. So, but I'm a coach. I don't, sometimes I'll throw kids out of practice. Sometimes I won't allow the team to practice. John Wooden used to say that, it was a great privilege to practice. And if you would not practice effectively, you could lose the privilege of practicing. And I like that attitude. I like that aspect. That's my focus, too. It is a privilege to be there and to be able to practice basketball and do this great thing we enjoy. And we try to remind our kids of that all the time.
Cliff, you and I both know with our experience in life that you're only as good as your next performance. But how important is it to your players? Do they talk about it much? And it's not being arrogant, egotistical, or cocky. I think it's factual, the rich culture of Clackamas Community College basketball.
Well, we have our players from the past. They're really good about coming back and coming around. They play with the kids in open gym. They point to the Raptors and they tell the kids, what their team was and what their banner is and which championship they won. And that's very cool. And so there is an expectation. We don't talk that much about it. Every team's a new team. We're not here to talk about what we've accomplished. We're here to focus on what we can accomplish this next season with this basketball team. That's all we're focused on. That's all we care about. History's history. Let's go on. Let's have a great season. And, that's what we drive toward. But there is a standard of excellence that we expect them to achieve.
Hey, Cliff, in closing tonight, what do you think of those punks in Washington trying to start a border war today, with the Coach Hop saying he'd be asleep and all this stuff? That's just not good.
Well, I'm sort of – I am at that grandparent stage, too. I got 3 grandchildren, and I always thought Coach Landon was a really very nice young man, but him taking cheap shots there at the geriatric generation, I don't know. I may have to reconsider that, but I did think it was kind of funny. I know Coach Hop, he's an early bed guy, but he's an early riser too. So before most of us have woken up, he's probably been up working a couple hours from 5 a.m. to whatever.
Absolutely. Good night, Cliff. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you on Sunday night on the Portland Metro Small College Hoop Show.
Thanks, Craig. I always look forward to it.
You betcha. That's Cliff Whitener, the head men's coach of Clackamas Community College. Everybody, thanks for listening tonight, and join us next week at the same time. And we love doing this show. It's tremendous. I love NWAC basketball. Don't forget to make all your free throws.